Our text is Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. I think it's a real blessing that no matter which service you come, that there are always those here that sing and do special music. And it's not just that it sounds great, but it's also the words of the songs they select. And I appreciate that so very much. If the song doesn't have a message, it doesn't matter what the music is. Okay, it needs to have a message because this is honoring the Lord. And I really appreciate all of our musicians that do such a great job in this area. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Our message title today is God-given authority for humanity. So let me read that verse one more time. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now shall we pray? Father, I pray that you'd just help me to rightly divide your word. I would not want to mislead anyone. I pray that you'd rebuke the devil, especially this day, and not allow him in any way to interrupt the service. I pray that you'd help each person, whether they're listening to this by the podcast, by internet, by later by a CD, or sitting in the auditorium today. I pray that you would just minister to their hearts. May the Holy Spirit help keep their attention focused on the message of God's Word. And we'd ask this in Christ's name. For Christ's sake we pray it. Amen. Our text begins by saying, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, I point that out at the outset just to make a special point in our message today. But it uses only the name of Jesus when he says, and Jesus came. Now, he's often referred to in the Bible as the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there are times when only the name Jesus is used. There are other times when only the name Christ is used, and still other times when only the name Lord is used in referring to him. Now, I'm told that there are actually, and I saw a list of them one time, of over 200 names used to refer to Jesus Christ in the Bible. However, as I went through that, I found that most of them were adjectives. For an example, Jesus is referred to in Solomon as the Rose of Sharon. I don't think any of his disciples went around calling him Rose or Sharon. Okay? I don't think they would do that. But the Rose of Sharon describes his character in both his grace and mercy. The Rose of Sharon speaks of Jesus Christ, who would not break a bruised reed, nor quench a smoking flax. He was meek in all his ways. Well, today I want us to look at this name of Jesus in our text. In the four Gospels, when the disciples address him directly, you never see that they just say Jesus. Jesus by itself. They'll use the Lord Jesus. They'll say Christ Jesus, or they say Master, Rabbi, but they just don't use the name Jesus by itself. As a matter of fact, when you see him addressed as Jesus only, you see that he is addressed that way by the unsaved. As a matter of fact, on the cross, Pilate made a superscription. And in the superscription, he said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. He didn't say this is the Lord Jesus. He didn't say this is Jesus Christ. He simply said, this is Jesus. And that's the way the world would refer to him. And even today, although they kind of get upset when you pray in Jesus' name. They don't get upset when you pray in Allah. They don't get upset when you pray in the name of Buddha or anything else. Why is that? Because the world recognizes they're not God. and the world is against Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. This is the name that is above all names. And so you say, well, why does the world only refer to him as Jesus? Is that being a derogatory term? Well, no. The angel instructed Joseph to call him by this name in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. By the way, the purpose for Jesus coming was to save us from sin. That was his purpose. And that's what we're told here. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves, or salvation is of the Lord. If we translated the name of Jesus from the Greek into the Hebrew, instead of saying Jesus, we would be saying Joshua. Jesus was the name in the Greek. Joshua would have been the name in the Hebrew. Jesus was a common name in his day, just like Joshua was a common name during the days of the Exodus. And there are things that we associate with the name. For an example, if today I said Reagan, Patton, Tiger, Jordan. Okay. Now you would automatically associate those names with a person and a particular thing or a particular place or what have you. Now, there are other people that have had those names of Reagan. They've had that name of Patton or Tiger or Jordan. There are other people that have had that name. And yet, you say that name in public, everybody associates it with one person or one place or some certain thing. Jesus, we say that name today, we always associate it with one. Even though there were many that had that name. So it's important to understand the association with his name. First of all, let's look at that name, Lord. The name Lord is the name associated with his deity. When we're calling Jesus Christ Lord, we are acknowledging that he was Emmanuel, God with us, that he was Almighty God in the flesh when we call him Lord. We're looking at him as deity. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, what he's saying there is that the very moment of creation, and by the way, God did create the heaven and the earth, but at that very moment of creation, Jesus was already existing. He was the Lord. He was the God. He was Almighty. He's from everlasting. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 17, 5, it says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory that he had with him before the world was. Remember when Moses said, let me see your face. And God said, nobody can see my face and live in this human flesh. Nobody could look at God's face and live. Jesus shared in that glory. No one would have been able to look at Jesus Christ and live back in that time before the world was. And now is his prayer in his flesh to say, Lord, restore me unto that glory that I had with you before the world was. These three passages that I've just shared with you let us know that Jesus Christ was Almighty God, Emmanuel, God with us, who lived as a spirit in eternity past. The name Christ is the name of both his deity and his humanity. The name Christ means anointed. The Jews would use the term Messiah. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That phrase, "made himself of no reputation," has the idea of that he emptied himself of the glory. Not of his deity, but he emptied himself of the glory. He never ceased being deity. But he ceased the glory that was associated with deity. Had he not one person the day he come to this earth would have been able to look at him and live. He had to empty himself of that glory. He had to just take all of that away from himself. If you ever read Ezekiel chapter 1, you'll see all these seraphims and all those that are surrounding his throne and the great power these mighty angels have and how they cover their eyes and they cover themselves from even being able to look at his almightiness. And when you see one that appears on the throne from his loins downward, from his loins upward, it says the appearance of a fire, and yet it's a man. And this Almighty God, he emptied himself of the glory, that he might be the anointed one to take your sin and my sin. He was anointed in the councils of the Godhead to be the Savior even before the creation of this world. He knew that man would fall. And so, in the councils of the Godhead, he was anointed to bear our sins. So Lord is the name of his deity. Christ is the name of both his humanity and deity. God in the flesh. But Jesus is the name of his humanity. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we read this. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." He existed throughout eternity past. However, he was not called the Son of God throughout eternity past. He became the Son of God 2,000 years ago when he was born of a virgin. It was the Holy Spirit who came upon her as the Father overshadowed her. And the Spirit entered into her. Placed the Spirit of Christ within. And flesh began to form around her. Around him. He became the babe in the womb of Mary that very day that he was conceived inside her. That one who had lived in eternity past was now taking on flesh. And that day that he was born, he was the only begotten Son of God. That's why God gave his only begotten Son, speaking of the humanity of Jesus Christ. When he became a human being, he became the Son of God. The seed was from him. That was him. It was his blood. You see, the blood comes from the Father. It was the Father that put blood in Adam and Eve. And now the Father puts blood in another representative of the human race, Jesus Christ. And in his humanity, we find that the life is in the blood. That's why one day when he shed his blood on the cross, he was able to take that life-giving blood and lay it in the Holy of Holies of heaven. Then that very blood is the blood that guarantees our everlasting life. But it had to be in his humanity. It couldn't be the blood of bulls and goats because they can't take away sin. It had to be that blood that was in his humanity. As a matter of fact, he's the Son of God in his humanity. He's the Son of Man in his humanity via Mary. Mary was not deity. As a matter of fact, it was important that she was not deity so that he could be fully man as well as fully God. It was important that she was not deity. The emphasis here is that he is speaking from his humanity in our text when it says, "And Jesus came." I'm glad Jesus came to me, aren't you? He's just proven his deity. He's risen from the dead. But he comes as Jesus to his disciples. This is just before he ascends up into heaven, the last words of his humanity on earth before his ascension to heaven will be given here. And that word came means that he made the move towards them. He made the move to give them this information, showing how important this was to him. And he's going to give his last words in his humanity on earth before the ascension. They're very important. This is the person that we're referring to today of Jesus in his humanity. But then it says that he has received power. Again, our text says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Many times when you read the word power in the Bible, it comes from a Greek word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from it, as a matter of fact. And it means inherent power. And of course, a stick of dynamite, you light it, boom, you know, it just blows out. Woke you up, didn't I? And it just blows out. And we say that has inherent power. And many times when speaking of his power, it's inherent power. And none of us would have any problem with that. And certainly we'd say that Jesus Christ in his deity had inherent power. But the word in our text is not that same Greek word. It comes from the Greek word exousia. Exousia is defined as that which is permissible, allowed, the authority to do, the right to do. It has the idea of executive power. It also has the idea of the authority to grant power. And what we're being told is that the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus in his humanity, has all authority over something. Be it a place or a people. Now, he's already deity in his spirit. But in his humanity, we're being told that he's given all authority. Authority over all. The authority that he possessed in his lordship before he took on humanity. But it's authority that he emptied himself of when he left heaven's glory. It's authority for his humanity. On the cross, when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Didn't mean he ceased being God. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden the Trinity was broken up. But you see, all through his earthly life, he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And the angels came and ministered to him. The evening before, he's in the garden. And he's praying. And he's sweating these huge drops of sweat. They're as blood. And the angels come and they minister to him. And Jesus on the cross now in his humanity will not receive anything of grace and mercy from his deity. And there will be a full outpouring of the wrath of deity upon his humanity. Because it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. A perfect sacrifice was needed for us. I could not die for you. You could not die for me. We needed a perfect sacrifice, and only Jesus Christ is that perfect sacrifice. Our text states, it says, is given unto me. The Greek in which that was written is using what is called an aorist passive. It means this. Something has already happened and it's been received. We have sports banquets here at our Christian school. And in a sports banquet, they'll give trophies. The coach will actually do the action of giving. The athlete simply, passively, receives it. He didn't go out and buy it. He didn't go out and have it written on. He didn't do any of that. He just receives it from the coach. However, why did he receive it? He received it because his actions on the field earned it. Through the death, burial and resurrection of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and presenting the atoning blood for our sin at the Holy of Holies in heavens, he earned all authority in his humanity. He already had it in his deity, but he earned it now in his humanity, and he now receives it from his deity with the Father. He receives all authority, not Mary, not Buddha, not Allah. Only Christ has earned and received authority in heaven and in earth. And he's done it in his humanity. His humanity. Sometimes we miss what he accomplished. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. It's why in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. Because he now, in his humanity, made a way for salvation for each of us. You know, if you're going to try to do the best you can, and you're going to try to make heaven some other way, then you've got to be able to, after you die, to raise up from the dead without the power of God. You've got to be able to raise up from the dead and make your body eternal. You can't do that, then you need a Savior. You've got to admit, I'm a sinner. And that's why Jesus came to save me, because I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus came to save you, to save me, so that we would not have to go to hell. And what makes us think that we would need to do less than Jesus if we're going to try to save ourselves outside of his power? The book of Jonah tells us that salvation is of the Lord. You are not saved by an assist from the Lord and your work. He must do it all. We just simply admit our need as sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, not a big sin, not a little sin, not a whole lot of sins, just the wages of sin is death, final, complete separation forever from God in the lake of fire. Yes, we see the person of his humanity, perfect, never sinned one time, and yet having the same limitations as you and I. Having to eat, having to sleep, having to walk, having to breathe. He had the same limitations. And we see His power. He overcome all that He might have all authority. And we see the place. Heaven and earth. All the universe. Remember, Satan fell in heaven. That's why the blood is applied in heaven. And He has now the authority in His humanity to forgive sin when it is repented of. Listen to this from Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, where He says, "And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name." In other words, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, because He shed His blood for our sin in that life-giving blood, that life-giving human blood, because He did that for us, He says, go out. Tell men they don't have to work for it. Tell men they can't make themselves clean enough for it. Tell men that I did it all. I paid it all. You just tell men, come to me with a repentant heart, being willing for me to take that from you. Listen, I'm not going to crush a smoking flax. I'm not going to break a bruised reed. You've got to be willing for me to take that sin from you. But if you're willing, that's a repentant heart. I'll take it from you. And I'll give you everlasting life. He has authority over death. He has authority over judgment. He has authority over eternity. Romans 10:9, and I want to close with this verse. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Lord deity, Jesus humanity. Other words, confess means to say the same thing as, to be in agreement with, by taking a position with. That's the idea of confess. I agree with and I take a position with. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe that He was Almighty God in the flesh. And shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, as His humanity lay dormant in the grave. That body was raised literally by His deity. And so He says, God hath raised Him from the dead. He says, thou shalt be saved. You see, He demonstrated this for us in humanity, so that you and I both can know that we also can be raised from the dead. Perfectly human, with human limitations, but without sin. And it was that humanity that secured for us eternal life, so that also in our humanity, we can rule and reign with Him forever. It was very important that He have this authority in His humanity so that there be a way of salvation. The world doesn't like it. When we say, no, you're wrong, that there are many ways to heaven. There aren't. Politicians, educators, and men of means of this world say, oh, there are many roads to heaven. No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says, there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. My friend, I want to ask a question. Are you 100% sure that if you died today, heaven's your home? Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray as we sing hymn 196, There is a fountain filled with blood. Oh, Lord, you shed blood that would save anyone who would come to Him, come to you. And I pray, Father, for these that aren't sure they're saved, I pray that today would be the day they receive Christ as Savior, save their soul. Lord, I pray for that one that has wandered from you. I pray that today would be a day to come back in thankfulness for God's long suffering. Whatever the spiritual need is, I pray be met in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.